Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verses 27 to 38. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brother. "Here it is in my sack." Their heart sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving household, and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. The father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the graves in sorrow.'"
How can you change a person's character? Let's say from a drug addict, be transformed. Or a broken relationship, say an abusive father-son relationship. How can this relationship be restored? With man, this is hopeless. But with God, all things are possible, and sometimes God uses severe mercies. So this is the topic for today's sermon. And severe mercies are mercies that doesn't seem like mercies. Maybe it's hardship or discipline or punishment, more like it. But ultimately, it achieves God's purpose for the good of the people. Today's story of Joseph is very familiar to all of you. So remember, Jacob's family is, if we can describe Jacob's family, you can describe Jacob in one word. And that word is dysfunctional. Because the father, Jacob, played favoritism only to Rachel's boys. And that caused a lot of jealousy and hate among the rest of the sons. Jacob's other sons were cold and colorless. Eventually, they sold Jacob as slaves, Joseph as slaves to Egypt. That was 20 years ago. When we come to this chapter, God used famine, and Joseph used harsh words to punish, test, and teach this dysfunctional family, the 10 brothers, to transform them back. So at the beginning of this chapter, we remember the story is after 20 years, Joseph was sold as slaves to Egypt. After 13 years, he became the prime minister of Pharaoh's. And the story you remember is, you know, originally Joseph was sold to the captain of the guard's household, and then he later on he worked well, but then he was put in jail because of unjust trauma charge, put in jail. And inside the jail, he know these two officers from the Pharaoh's court who become disgraced. One is the cupbearer, one is the baker. And because both these officers have dreams, you know, and Joseph was able to interpret the dreams for them. You know, the cupbearer will be released in 3 days, and then the baker will have his head chopped off. So it turned out exactly just like it is. The cupbearer released from prison, and Joseph pleaded with him, "Remember me, you know, I was put in jail unjustly. You know, when you go to back to Pharaoh, say some good words for me so that I can be out of the prison." Cupbearer go back to Pharaoh's place, totally forget about Joseph. Until one day the Pharaoh had two dreams, you know, and then nobody can interpret for Pharaoh. Then this cupbearer I remember this guy from the prison. And then he called up Joseph from prison, to Pharaoh's. Pharaoh said, "I have this dream, two dreams, you know. There were 7 big, fat, chubby cows, you know, out from the river. And then later on, there's another 7 thin, ugly cows, you know, come out. And then the thin cow swallow up the big fat cow, you know. And then the dream ended. And then next, I have another dream, you know. It's a stalk of grain, you know. 7 fat, chubby head, you know. And then the sun comes scorching on it. And then there's 7 tiny withered head come out. But then the withered head of grain swallow up the big fat head of grains, you know. And then Joseph said, the Pharaoh said, "I don't understand, and all my magicians cannot tell me the meaning of that, my dream." And Joseph said, "No, this is God is telling you what is going to happen to your country and the world." He said, it is 7 years of good harvest will come, followed by 7 years of totally, dry famine, you know. So it's because it's repeated twice, God is saying that it's going to come true very quickly and for sure, 2 times, you know. And Joseph suggests to Pharaoh that you should put someone in charge to gather all the grains, accumulate as much food as you can, and then so that you can prepare for the 7 famine years. So eventually, we all remember then that Pharaoh said, "Oh, who can I find anybody so discerning, so wise, but you?" So that is how Joseph became the prime minister. So that was 13 years after Joseph was sold to Egypt. And then at the beginning of this chapter, 7 years of good harvest has come and gone. And then now, the beginning of the famine seasons. The entire world was dry and without food. including Canaan. So Jacob was sending to talk to their sons. He says, "Hey boys, why are you just looking at one another? You know, you are not doing anything for the common good of the family. Go and buy some grain, some food for the family." So this family was at that time they were alienated from God and from one another. You know, they thought their brother was dead, and Joseph would not try to connect with them or go back to their father. And Jacob was suspecting their sons was doing something bad, and then eventually they sent them away to buy food for the family. And out of all this, God used famine to initiate a restoration process. They forced the family to confront the past and confront with one another. So the 10 brothers went to buy grains. When they meet Joseph, who's in the royal dress in Egypt, and they bow down to him. They bow down to him. And then at this moment, Joseph remember his childhood dream, that all his brothers' sheaf of wheat bow down to his sheaf of wheat. And Joseph decided to test their brother. So he spoke very harshly to them. He said, "You are spies. You are spies to see where our land is unprotected and to attack us. So I'm going to lock you up." You know. And they said, no. We have a family of same father, you know, family of 12 boys, and one's gone and one is with the brother. We are just ordinary, good, honest family, you know. And and then Joseph said, no, you are bad, you are spies. So they locked him up for 3 days. After 3 days, they come and tell them, Joseph told them, "Okay, this is how I prove you are honest. I'm going to hold one of you as hostage. The rest 9 people go back to your family with all the food you can carry. And then you have to bring back the last boy to me. Then I would know that you are honest. You know, I have to check your words, see whether it's true or not." So at this, they left. But you see, this because of this. Before because of this arrangement, they were talking to one another. It must be God is punishing us. In verse 21, they said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." You know, during the 3 days, they must have been thinking about this episode. You know, we have mistreated our brother Joseph many years ago, and now we have been mistreated. You know, our brother was pleading for our life. Now we are pleading for in front of this powerful man, you know, and he does not trust us. So it must be God punishing us. So all this guilt feeling, all this the past come back. And what is matter worse is when after they left, they find that in the grain bags, the silver that they used to purchase the grain was still there. Wow, that is terrible, because with this suspicious Egyptian governor, he would for sure know that he would suspect us stealing the silver back, you know. So they conclude that this must be God punishing us, you know, make all this silver come back to them, so that when so they are very full of regrets of what they did. Because of this, what they have been treated now, they think that, you know, how they have mistreated their brother. And they come to total repentance. And when they come to go back to home and talk to Jacob, their father, Jacob said, no, I'm not going to allow the Benjamin back to go Benjamin to Egypt, you know, never. And then this brother is very sensitive to their father's feeling, you know. Before, he doesn't care about Joseph's feeling, you know. Just, you know, you love Joseph, I'm going to kill him, you know. See what you do, you know. But now they are very sensitive and caring to his father's feeling. He says, no. And Reuben said, no, I guarantee I'll bring Benjamin back, you know. Although his guarantee is, he said, you know, I'll trade my two sons if Benjamin doesn't come back. You can kill them. So it's not too much a guarantee. But later on in the next chapter, Judah actually said, I'm going to use my life to guarantee Benjamin come back. You know, so because of this calamities, the brothers' hearts totally change. You know, so this story is not just about Joseph. You know, the last part of Genesis is not just about Joseph. It is also about how God changed the sons of Israel to be God's people. You see, the family was broken. They were selfish, they were uncaring, they were cold, but God wants to change their characters. You see, throughout the Bible, God is care about how we, as disciples of Jesus, God wants to transform us. You know, as it's just like Sister Sandra shared about the musician, Francis Liszt. You know, God sometimes have to use severe mercy to change us. And the purpose is to bring us back like to be more like Jesus. You know, so you see, that is ultimate God's purpose for all of us. And if God have to, he will use severe mercies. Severe mercies are disciplines that we, at that moment, we don't feel like it. But God have a plan. God always wants to prosper us, wants to for our good. God sometimes even punishes us for our good. And we have to realize that. So you either take it the easy way or the difficult way. You know, you can say, oh God, from now on, I am going to deliberately love you, follow you, and, you know, I'm going to get away from my addiction, etc. But if you don't, God still have a way to change you. So there are two verses in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And Apostle Peter talked to the Christians, and he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when the glory is revealed. So, I don't know the situation you are in now. Maybe some of you maybe are fired at work. Maybe some of you students who committed plagiarism at school, and then you get suspended from school. And some of you, maybe your wife, your spouse walk away from you. because of maybe some immoral addiction you are facing with. And something bad happened in your life. And you wonder why. But you see, maybe just God may be trying to bring you to be teaching you a lesson, to be an honest, caring person. Maybe God is teaching you, I care about your integrity more than I care about your university degree. And I care who you become better than how much money you offer and is the donation. You see, God care about who you become. So severe measure, grace is something that God brings in our life so that we can be more and more like Jesus. And Joseph's brother did not know. He thought that the events in Egypt as affliction or trouble, but it is Joseph who designed through these harsh words to bring about their good, you know. And Joseph himself also was subject to some trial, hardship trial, you know, being sold as slaves and being rejected and then and falsely accused of committing rape and things like that. So, but ultimately he realized that what his position and coming to Egypt and eventually saving his family, saving the world out of famine, he says, God sent me. He said that four times. It is not you, brothers, who sold me to Jesus, to Egypt, but it's God sent me. So ultimately, we know that we are in God's grace. God is going to, ultimate purpose for all of us is to transform us to be more and more like Christ. So let us be prepared for it. Of course, it would be nice if we all voluntarily change to be like Christ-like, but if have to, God use severe mercy to change us. And Apostle Peter also said this, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So Christ himself is the most innocent person, yet God his Father sent him to die, but to achieve the salvation purpose for all of us. So let us continue to trust in God, because he is good, he is always faithful. Behind the dark cloud there is the sun. Our God is always faithful. Let us continue to trust him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are very limited. We don't have the complete knowledge like you. We are imperfect, yet God, you are perfect love. What you have planned for us is always good. And sometimes to achieve your purpose, to help us to be more and more like your son Jesus, you have to use discipline. You have to use severe grace and mercy to help us. So help us to continue to trust and obey you all our lives. It doesn't matter of what happened in our lives, we always cling on to this conviction that God, you are always good. So let us be used by you to help to complete your transformation of our life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, worship team.
Yeah. All right. Amen, Pastor Wang. Could we please all rise? I must say that I've never had, this service is definitely a lot more interesting than pretty much any other service I've been over here. You know, we should probably do this every single time, have a concert pianist every single service. Well, but yeah, anyway, we learned, it's interesting how much we've learned about how God actually restores those, but he also that he disciplines, and also how he is doing everything for our own good. So yes, let's think about that, and now let's sing the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. Attention, please. Pastor Caitlin have a special announcement for all of us.
The Lord be with you. Thank you for having us this morning. And just want to, my planning was a little bit not too fast. Tonight, Sandra will be at Scarborough Chinese Alliance Church doing a full concert in English. So you're all welcome to come and to hear the full concert. And it's also a kickoff concert for the camp called Arts in Worship Camp that we are running next week. And Benjamin is going to be part of our praise team as well. This has been a very joint venture, Pastor Wong and BCBC, with all the GTA churches put together an Arts in Worship Camp for the young people, grade 7 and up. So pray for us. We need your prayer that God would touch the young people in a very special way, that they will meet God in worship and they will be changed, like today's sermon is talking about. God wants to change our hearts. So if we let Him, He will change us. So come to the concert tonight at 7 o'clock. It's free. And the church can seat 1,000 people. So we'd like you to be there, okay? Scarborough Chinese Alliance Church at 7 o'clock. Okay. All is welcome.